of God and speak to his people because he holds you very valuable. I want you to look at the person on the left of you and say, God thinks you're valuable. Now look at the person on the right and say, God thinks you're valuable. Now I want you to point to yourself and say, I am valuable. How many of you know we don't live in a society that values each other? We need to value other people because God values them. He values you so much that he died for you. That's how costly you are to him. So when he gives me an opportunity to speak, I always take that as thank you, Lord. Thank you. Okay. And you have very wonderful pastors. Bless them. And I'm always honored in the house of the Lord to thank God for people who are willing to take the job of pastor. I am not a pastor. I'm a preacher. I preach and teach. Being a pastor is a very tough job. How many of you know that? Let me tell you something. When God called you sheep, he wasn't giving you a compliment. And when he said, I'm going to give you a shepherd, he was saying, that's a hard job because sheep oftentimes don't want to follow. But they will follow the voice of their master. I have some papers I'm going to have somebody would willing to pass out for me. There's two for each group. I'm bringing you my teaching, some of my teaching this morning, because I don't want you to just hear my teaching. I want you to take it home with you and have something to refer back to, because what's really important is that you get what God is saying this morning. How many of you are familiar with the fact that tomorrow is going to be an eclipse? The first one like this, a lunar eclipse or solar eclipse in 100 years. How many of you know that this year, 1917, 100 years ago, the Bolsheviks invaded Russia? And it went from being a Christian nation to a communist nation. How many of you know this year, 2017, marks 500 years since Martin Luther went on to the Catholic Church in Germany and nailed his 95-page edict to the Catholic door that God could speak to every person and every person could speak to God. How many of you know that's 500 years now? Now, why is this important? Because there is something very strategic about this moment in time that we're in. And everybody, even the non-Christians, can feel something is shifting. How many of you feel the shift? Only three of you. Well, okay, four of you. How many of you can feel the shift? And the shift is that God is doing something. He's ready to break through and release something into the spiritual realm that is going to shift the atmosphere in his church and in the world. How many of you know the word revival is not for the unsaved? You can't revive something that's not already alive. You have to do 911 CPR on something that's living and breathe life back into it. And God is breathing a whole fresh wind of the Holy Spirit into his church. Not just this church. When I say church, I'm talking about the body of Christ. It's a 911 emergency. And Jesus is ready to breathe a whole new breath of his spirit into his church. And she's going to arise and she's going to shine and she's going to have revelation of God like she's never had before, because God is ready to bring in the lost, and he has to revive the church to a place where she loves him more than she's ever loved him before, because it's a costly thing and yet it's a powerful thing. Is this making sense? The wind of the Spirit is starting to blow. Now, 100 years ago, when we had the same eclipse that we're having tomorrow, they said that after that, there was an arising. Even the Jews say, Something shifted. I believe tomorrow is strategic, spiritually speaking, because the moon has no light of its own. It only shines by its direct relationship to the sun. Well, you and I are like the moon. We don't carry our own light, but we shine brightly by our direct relationship to the sun. S-O-N. And the closer we are to him, the brighter we shine. So my speaking to you this morning, oh, and by the way, I forgot. I always forget this, but I need to do it. So I do have some DVDs that'll be for sale afterwards. And one is called The Lord's Prayer. It's a teaching on the Lord's Prayer. Oh, thank you. Another one is From Gomer to Esther. For those of you that don't understand what that means, I'll explain it. This is a gift for you and Pastor Luann. And it's the governmental authority of the church. How many of you know God's church is the government spiritually? And it's the governing body spiritually. And when he rose his church, he said, the government will be on my shoulders. Now, granted, the physical government is on the Lord's shoulder, but the church is supposed to influence every aspect of society. She is the governing authority. We've lost sight of that, and this is God's gifts, and we all talk about the Holy Spirit gifts, but we somehow forget that God gives gifts too. One of his main gifts is your breath, your life. He created you, and he loves you just like you are. God does not make junk. He makes great things. And then this is another teaching on the meaning of Christmas. Okay, I'll get back to the teaching now. So turn with me, if you have your Bible, to Isaiah 60. And the Lord, I said, Lord, what do you want to say to this group of people? Because every place I go to speak, I say, God, what do you want to say to this group? What is your, you are his people, so what does he want to say to you? And he said, what's the name of their church? What's the name of your church? Celebration. I said, oh, wow, God, that's right. Celebrate. Celebrate life. Celebrate that God loved you enough to bring you into his kingdom. Celebrate the life that he's given you, the family he's given you, the children, the people around you. Let me tell you, they're worth celebrating. You need to speak life to one another because there's certainly enough people speaking death. We need to encourage one another because there's certainly enough people not encouraging. When you go to work at work during the day, you may not get encouraged much. But when you come home, you should have family there that speak life to you, speak love to you. Say, I am so glad you walked in the door. Why? Because if we don't realize how valuable we are to each other. I learned a long time ago when my husband passed away that it's those little things that you'll miss. The little things we take for granted every day. Waking up and having a smile on your face. My husband used to bring me coffee in bed every morning. He did, every morning before he left for work. And so when I thought, oh, now I have to make my own coffee. No, I'm just kidding. So I wanted you to read the scripture with me. Oh, and you know what? I'm so sorry. I forgot to bring my glasses up. Would you hand me my purse, please? I had everything so organized and ready, except my glasses. I am so sorry. Well, forgive me. I may have to have somebody look at the paper for me. Pardon? Oh, well, I'll just read it. I can't do this to you guys. Okay. First one is arise. I brought you the definition of the word arise. And the word arise, I just have to have long arms. How's that? No, those are my sunglasses. Thank you. I appreciate you doing that. Okay, Lord, where are my glasses? I know I had them. Okay, well, I can do it. I just got to swim. Okay, arise. Thank you. I apologize. I'm usually a little more organized. Oh, those are good. You must have the same eyes as me. Okay. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Say that with me. The glory of the Lord is risen upon me. It's upon you. What is upon you? The glory of the Lord. Did you know the word glory actually means his manifest presence? You and I are walking, breathing, manifest presence of the glory of God. Isn't that exciting? You see, we don't need the Ark of the Covenant now because we are the Ark of the Covenant. We are walking, breathing houses of the Lord. And his glory resides within you. And the more time you spend with him, the more that glory manifests. The more that the shining of the Lord comes upon you. And every single one of us has that glory within us. Now, what was in the ark? It was the Ten Commandments, Aaron's rod, and manna. You are walking, breathing, arks of the covenant, carrying the glory of God with the Ten Commandments, or God's laws. Aaron's rod was representing the blooding of life. And manna, bread. Every time you read the word, you're taking in God's bread. He's feeding your spirit. And the more you have inside of you, the more you're able to give to others. If you are starving, you can't feed anyone else. You have to be full of his presence, full of his glory, full of his anointing, full of his... Now, everybody hates the word law and Ten Commandments, but I'm going to tell you what the Ten Commandments really are. They're actually a boundary for you. It's like if you were a parent. In fact, Pastor Cedric asked me this morning, what do you need? I said, I want that little baby over there. There was the cutest little baby in here, like 3 weeks old. I just wanted to go grab it and kiss it. It's not mine, so I didn't. But anyway, but when you're a parent and you have a child that's small, what do? You put it in the backyard and you put a fence around the yard and you set up everything in the yard that's at the age level of that child to protect it and keep it. That's the Ten Commandments. It's God's fence around you that says, if you stay inside this fence, you're going to be safe. But you open the gate, walk outside, and there's a car that can hit you, a stranger that can abduct you, or a dog that can bite you. See, those commandments are actually boundaries to keep you safe. Because the enemy, in Genesis 4, it says that he is crouching at your door waiting to pounce. All you have to do is open it. And I'm going to tell you, young people, any occult activity that you do in your life, you are opening a door that you cannot shut. You better understand how serious that is. Tarot card reading, occult, even things you watch on TV. Those are openings of doors, and you're stepping outside of God's fence of protection. And that thing that's crouching at your door will pounce. And you can't get rid of it except through the Lord. That's what repentance really is. You know what I know what repentance really is? It's saying, God, I'm sorry. Make me clean and pure again. Put me back inside your fence and protect me. And he says, okay, baby, I will. Because how many of you parents whose kid stepped outside the fence and almost got hit by a car says, you can't come back in this fence again. Yeah, blow it, you can't come back. No, you say, oh my goodness, my baby, go rush it, take it, make sure it's felt, it's safe, make sure it's healed, make sure it didn't get hurt, and then put it in the fence and say, don't walk outside of this again. How many parents understand? How many of you know the Bible says God is your father? He's not going to let you go off with that stranger and not try to rescue you. But once you're rescued, he's going to teach you not to do it again. Does this all make sense? Did you know that everybody loves John 3:16, but my favorite scripture is John 3:17. And it says, for God, say this with me, for God did not Say that again. Did not. Let's get that through our head. He did not send his son to condemn you. Because without him, you're condemned already. He came to save. The word salvation means salvation. The word salvation means salvation. He came to save you, to take you out of the fire, to take you out of the pit, and to reestablish you in righteousness. He didn't come to condemn you, because without him, you're condemned already. So he said, arise and shine. Now, the word arise means to get out of a get up from a prone position. How much of the church has been laying down in a prone position and is almost like not able to stand? Arise. It's time to wake up. It's time for the alarm to go off. How many of you like a snooze alarm? Ring. Oh, snooze. Snooze again. Snooze again. The church has been snoozing that snooze alarm too long. It's time to arise, to shine, to let that glory that's in you start to manifest to those in the world. Now, I'm not saying you have to rock them up and hit them in the head with your Bible. You don't. But if you know the Word of God and they ask you a question, you can give them an answer. You don't have to say John 3:17 says. You just say, God didn't come to condemn you. He came because he loves you. You see, he says, always be ready in season for a word of hope for those who have no hope. You see, we're sitting here this morning and we have hope. We forget sometimes the people in the world do not. When I hear people cuss with the words of the Lord, I don't get offended. I pray for them. Because to me, if the Bible actually says to know him is to love him. If they knew him, they wouldn't use his name as a curse word. They would be glorifying and praising him. And because they curse with him, they actually shut down the very one that they need. Because God says that he inhabits the praises of his people. So when you're praising God, his spirit is coming into the room. It's powerful to praise. And you do have to open your mouth. Try that with me. Praise the Lord. Say it with me. Praise the Lord. It's a hard thing to say, isn't it?
No.
No, it's actually fun and easy. But you see, we're so conditioned to not say it in the outside that it's even hard when we come into the church to say it. Because we've lived for 6 days not saying that. And all of a sudden we're supposed to say it for 1 hour on Sunday. I'm sorry, you're supposed to say it every day. Praise the Lord. And what does praise do? God inhabits the praises of his people. You carry the glory of God. You didn't lose him. He's always with you. But when you praise him, his glory fills the atmosphere around you. And the more you praise him, the more his glory fills the room. And the more his glory fills the room, the more the joy and the peace and the hope comes with it. And the love. And all of a sudden you start thinking, man, these people are so beautiful. If you don't think people are beautiful, you need to praise God more. Because as you're in the presence of the Lord, he's going to start showing you people the way he sees them. And you're going to say, wow, they're beautiful, God. I never noticed how pretty they are. And he says, that's because you never saw them through my eyes. So praise him, worship him. That praise and worship are different. But the more you spend time with the Lord, when you start noticing your husband isn't as great as he used to be to you, and you start to criticize, that will speak volumes of where you are spiritually. Because when you're in love with somebody and you see them with love, you stop seeing their faults. And when God looks at you, he doesn't see your faults. He says, that's my kid. I'm here to encourage you. Now, will he correct you? Yes. But even when he corrects you, he does it through his word, and he does it with a gentle correction that says, I love you, and I'm doing this for your own good. You tell your kids that all the time. To awaken and to move forward, to have upward mobility, to ascend, to come into your place or being. This is what the word arise means. The church needs to come into her place and understand that we are all here to bring forth God's glory upon the earth. Not just the pastors. That's their job to teach you. Your job is to go out and bring in others. And you do it by your love, by your grace, and not phony love. Don't just say, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. You show love in a lot of ways. You show it with honor. When you're in the grocery store and you cut in line in front of someone else, that's not love. And then you come to, I had a lady one time, believe it or not, at my post office. I was starting to give her change back. I didn't know her at all. Started to give her change back from a 10 for a 20, and I didn't realize she had given me a 10. And I stopped and looked, and I said, oh, I almost gave you a bonus. And I made a joke out of it and pulled the money back. And she said, well, if you hadn't told me, I wouldn't have told you. Whoa. Then I got invited a couple months later by a friend of mine to a church service. I had to come to her Sunday school class, and that was the lady teaching the Sunday school class. And I walked in the door, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and nothing she had to say to me was going to go anywhere. Right. Because I already knew how she treated me outside. Right. You see, we have to understand as a church, our job is showing God's love for others. And we do it by not cussing at them, not cutting them off in the parking lot, not calling on the phone and saying, I'm sick, I can't come to work today, and then hanging up and saying, come on, kids, let's go to the mall. Yeah. See, this is important stuff because it's called integrity. Right. And it's time for the church to start realizing we have to walk in integrity so that we can show forth God's glory. And so when we show honor and respect to others, and this is what the Lord told me about people, show me the one I didn't make. Show me the one I didn't make. Whoa. That means every single person is valuable to God. And so if I can show him one he didn't make, maybe that's the one I can be rude to. Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, if you had just seen me at Starbucks being rude to somebody and then you saw me come here and preach at you, are you going to listen to what I have to say? A new spirit of freedom is arising. Let me tell you what freedom is to God. Freedom is setting you free from demonic control. Freedom is setting you free from sins in your life that hold you back. Freedom is God saying, I want to give you my glory so you can give it to others and you will celebrate with joy. You're going to celebrate the glory of God. You're going to celebrate his love. You're going to celebrate what he's done for you. And as you celebrate, people are going to look at you and say, why are you so happy when everyone else is on Prozac? Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Did you know a smile is warfare? In this day and age, just smiling at people. Or saying, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bump into you. They look at you like, "What? Where'd you come from?" You see, we live in an attitude society. Everything has to have attitude. Even our trucks have to have an attitude. We have to knock people over and get out of my way. I wouldn't dare say I'm sorry. That makes me look like I don't have attitude. Get me that big truck so I can run you off the road with it. You see my attitude. Well, I didn't bring one of my other teachings, but I have a teaching called the Be Attitudes. You see, our attitude has to show forth the glory. And our attitude has to show forth his love. So as we have this new spirit of freedom arising, the consequences from our actions to emit the light of his glory, that we will glisten and stand out. God is going to illuminate his church in this next season. And she's going to illuminate so brightly that the rising of the Lord will outshine the darkness of the enemy. To become, to resurge, to come forth, to come, to follow, to swell up, not with pride, but to arise and to shine. The word shine actually means to aim at or cast a light in a certain direction. Now, Pastor Luann was telling us this morning about being focused. If you have a laser beam, it is a focused light. And the more focused that light is, the more intense it becomes, the stronger it is. And if you take it down to a really narrow, you take a big light and narrow it down, it becomes very powerful. God is going to cause you to start to shine. Shine in the glory. They're going to look at you and they're going to say, wow, I don't know what it is about this person, but I just like her. And it's not because you dressed really cute, although you do. It's because the illumination of God is going to come upon his church in such a way that it will actually cause people in the world to want to be with you. Because they don't know what you have, but they want it. And they may be rude to you. They may push you out of line. They may have the big truck that cuts you off. But you have to say, praise God. Bless him, Lord. We always come in the opposite spirit. We bless. We bless. The word bless actually means for the Lord to have control. Amen. It means happy, joyful, prosperous, healthy. So when we say bless you, we're saying let the Lord be your prosper. Let the Lord be your joy. Let the Lord bring health and prosperity and blessing to you. The word cursing just means that you're giving Satan control and authority. It's all about who has authority, which kingdom you're going to step into, and which kingdom you're going to live in. Excellence in quality, appearance, and splendor. The Hebrew word for shine is Allah. I should know how to speak Hebrew. Zohar, Zorak, and so on. You can read them. And they all translate to the word shine. How many of you like to shine your car so it looks nice and shiny? You go out there and wax it and shine it so it looks beautiful. Well, the Lord, yeah. Well, shiny attitude. The Lord is shining you up. He's waxing you with his spirit. He's cleaning up his church. Because what he's going to do is cause her to arise up, stand erect. How many of you know when you've got shame and guilt, you lean down. But when you don't have anything to be shameful, you stand with a certain pride. It's not a pride that's bad. It's an honoring kind of thing because you're not full of shame anymore. He came to set you free from shame and give you the authority to stand erect in a prone position as the body of Christ. And you're going to shine. Woo-hoo! I love it. They mean either a beam of light or a candle. How many of you know the scripture that says, don't let your put your candle under a bushel. Let it shine. When we were little kids, we'd say, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. Well, I like to change that and say, this big light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Don't let Satan get out. What are you going to do? Let it shine. Now, some people either love me or hate me. I find when I was working at the post office and I would get filled with the presence of the Lord, I'd go in the room and there was this one lady, she'd say, why are you always so happy? And she said it like, it really bugged her that I was happy. And I just looked at her, and this was a Christian lady. And I said, well, isn't that what we're supposed to be? I didn't say it, but I thought, why are you always so upset? But I didn't, I thought that better of that. It can also refer, shining, to the glory of an angel or the fire of God. Isn't that good? And there's scriptures on that. When God's lamp shone upon my head, Job said, he redeemed my soul from going to the pit, and I will live to enjoy the light. Now, this is Job speaking. That should really get you. Job said, when the joy of the Lord. I love that. The wicked are denied light. and our upraised arm is broken. That's a powerful statement. Now, in this scripture, arise, shine, for your light has come, in Isaiah 60, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you, and the glory of the Lord will be manifest through you. It goes on to say that darkness, gross darkness, covers the earth. Now, I want to tell you about that word gross for a minute. It's not just a little kid that picks his nose, although that is gross. That's not the gross they're talking about here. They're talking about the gross. How many of you have ever done accounting? Financial accounting. And you add all the figures up, and you get the gross total. It's the total or the sum total of whatever you're doing. That's the gross that they're speaking about here. Jesus and God is telling us that when the darkness comes on the earth and gross darkness is over the people, the sum total of all demonic authority is coming upon the earth, that the light of the Lord will shine even greater because of the darkness that's in the world. So we are in a season, I believe, where God is allowing everyone to choose which side they're going to fight. Everybody in the world is making a choice. How many of you know the world's really, you can't turn on the news without going, wow, what is going on? He is shaking up everything. And everyone is going to make a choice which side they're going to walk on. And we're going to be shocked at the people we see come out of gross darkness. That's why we have to even say, I love the Satanists. I love the New Agers. I love them. I won't join with them, but I will walk and pray for them. Because God says we are going to see people come out of things that we are shocked they're coming out of. And we're going to see people we've sat in churches with, ministered with, walk away. That's the season we're in. Because God is in the process right now of revealing hearts. And only God knows the heart. You see, you can sit next to somebody in church for years, but you don't really know their heart. You can be married to somebody and not really know their heart. The only one that knows the heart, which is exceedingly wicked according to the Bible, is God himself. And he is giving every person in the world a chance to see his glory. That's the next season we're stepping into. Is this making sense? Are you guys okay with what I'm saying? Okay. And the heart is going to be exposed. And if we keep our eyes on people, we'll be shocked. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. For the gross darkness is in the world. Sum total. But with that, it's going to come such light that God is exposing himself through every person who's called by his name. And I believe many, many, many are going to come in. He's going to pour out his spirit upon the nations in the world as never before. So arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. The Lord is God, and he is making his light shine upon us. And as we understand the horns of the altar, how many of you know what that means? It's the power of God in heaven. When we pray and worship, we're actually going to the horns of the altar, and we're calling out for God's glory, his power, and his anointing. And we will see the light of Jesus Christ shine. The darkness may be strong, but God is stronger. And we've got to understand and keep our eyes on the Lord. If we start dwelling on the things that are bad, it will start causing us to get dim. But if we keep dwelling on the things that are of the kingdom, he that dwells in the secret hiding places of the Most High God will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The word dwells means you're going to encamp and live there. I'm going to live under the presence of the Almighty God and under the shadow of his wing. And he will give me his glory. Isn't that awesome? What a wonderful God we have. And I'm almost done. Am I taking too long? Okay. How many of you know that if you're in a very dark, dark room, even a little match brings a lot of light. How many of you know that a little candle brings a lot of light? How many of you know you are walking, breathing candles, carrying the light? Did you know that the in Revelation talks about the seven candles of the lampstand, and it's the seven churches? Why? Because you're a church. You're a candle. You're burning brightly, and your spirit is showing forth. Have you ever met somebody you just didn't like them and you didn't know why? Seriously, have you? Well, I have. Maybe you haven't, but I have. And I think, well, why don't I like this person? What about them? Sometimes you just feel their spirit. And you don't understand what you're really feeling is something you're not liking. Have you ever walked into a shop and you went, wow, something's weird in here? You're sensing the spirit. Now, you have to still love the person, so ask God to give you grace. But I believe we sense these things more than we realize. We just don't know what we're feeling. So pray for that person. But if you really feel like God's saying, leave, leave. He's got a reason for telling you. I asked him this morning, because I always like to talk and pray for pastors and leaders of churches because they need encouragement. How many of you know that? Your job, do you know you have a job in the church? Your job is to pray for your pastor. Now, let me tell you about the word pray. The Lord told me one day, you will P-R-A-Y or your P-R-E-Y. You pray or you are pray. It's that simple. And really, it's interesting because you do have to open your mouth. I talk to people all the time, I pray in my head. Oh, well, good for you. Open your mouth. Pray out loud. Why is that important? Because you're speaking it into the atmosphere, you're speaking it into the spiritual realm, and you're speaking it into heaven at the same time. But you're also speaking it to your own spirit, because your faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you want powerful prayer, pray the word. Powerful prayer. Arise and shine. So I said, well, Lord, what do you want to say to Pastor Luann and to Pastor Cedric this morning? And he showed me something about Pastor Cedric that I'm going to say to you. He said, this man may not speak a lot. He's kind of a quiet person, but he's a thinker. And what he does is he watches. Oh, he watches. And he takes in his spirit. And I want you to know that that is powerful. Because what you're seeing is someone who's honoring his mouth. Now, I need to do that more. Put a guard on my mouth, Lord, because sometimes I tend to say anything I think. Kind of how it comes along with being a woman a little bit, I think. That's a sexist statement, I'm sorry. Sexist whatever. I don't care, I'm telling you. Women tend to talk more than men. But when you find someone who's willing to guard things in their heart, it says of Mary, she pondered. You have a pastor who ponders, and I don't really know him other than just talking to him at the church and talking through Luann and I. But that's what I saw this morning. The Lord said he ponders things. He takes them deep in his spirit, and he thinks. And he questions God, and he asks God. And this is a valuable thing, and you should be glad to have that. Because it means he doesn't move quickly. He waits on the Lord for answers. And when he gets it, he's using wisdom with it. This is what the Lord told me about you, Pastor. So I thought that was pretty exciting, and I wanted to share that with you. And Pastor Luann, too. Oh, well, go ahead. Give your pastors. Pastor Luann, too, but she's got a whole different job. Her job is to lead you into worship. How many of you know worship is one of the most powerful gifts there is? It's actually more than the preacher, even though I'm the preacher, because it opens your spirit up to receiving what I'm going to say. Otherwise, I'd get up here and you wouldn't be prepared at all to hear what I have to tell you. So her job is powerful. So you need to thank God that he's given you this team, because it has a purpose. And there's a lady that, there you go. And there's a lady the Lord gave me a word for this morning, and I don't know where she went. And we were in prayer, and as we were praying, I don't know where she went. Oh, maybe she is. She's the lady that was standing next to Riley worshiping. Eleanor? Oh, okay. Well, I'll give it to her afterwards then. And Lord, I just thank you for this group of people, that Father, your church will arise and that they will understand their job is to pray for these two, to have wisdom on how to lead. And God, I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name for our churches. And now we're going to engage in prayer. And you're not going to listen to me pray. You're going to pray. So I'd like this section right here to stand up. And I want you to pray for the pastors, for wisdom, for anointing, for revelation, and God's will. And you got to open your mouth. I want this section over here to pray for the church in general, all the churches, especially in your area, okay? So stand up. And this section here, I want you to stand up and pray for the school systems, the government, our children, the colleges, everything that needs intercession in your area. Because let me tell you, it's time for us to start praying, right, as a corporate body. Okay, so I'm going to give you 5 minutes and then I'm done. All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for Pastor Cedric and Luann. Just start opening your mouth and praying. You can get together in groups if you want. Stand in circles with each other. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. And Lord, I thank you for this church. I bless this church. I ask you to bring your anointing and your power upon it. In Jesus' name. Fire of God, blow. Blow. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So arise and shine. Arise and shine. Arise and shine. Amen. Okay, Lord, we pray for Pastor Cedric and Luann. We pray for the church. We pray for colleges and children and leaders. We thank you, Father, that you covered Auburn, California with your anointing. And that Pastor Cedric, as he stands in the gatekeeper of this city, that you give him an anointing and a vision for what goes on in this city, that he knows how to battle for it. I pray for the leaders of this church, and I ask you, God, to bless them in Jesus' name. Bless Pastor Luann and the worship team, and let your fire fall. Let your fire fall, Lord. Praise you, Lord God. Let your fire. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There it is. Shari Akadosh. Now I want you all to pray for your families and your children and unsaved loved ones and anybody in your family that needs the Lord. Father, we lift up our children to you, our grandchildren, our family members, anyone that doesn't know you. And we pray your spirit upon them. And help us to not speak anything but love and life and the word to them in love. And show forth the glory of Jesus and the love of Christ for them. Bring them in, God. Help us to love one another because your word says that you will bring them in as we glorify Jesus and lift him up. You will draw all men unto him. And as we love one another, they will know we are Christians by our love for one another. Touch your church today and let your glory shine forth in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Valerie. Something was really stirring in my spirit. If you'll just lift your hands to the Lord.